In this third list of names, which extends from verses 23 to 31, Moses is the main character. And these are a few of the events from Moses' life. 23, he mentions that Moses was hidden for 3 months after being born. Verses 24 to 26, when Moses grew up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and chose to be mistreated with the people of God. And verse 26, considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. Those statements there from verses 23 to 26, those first two excerpts from Moses' life, were from Exodus 1 and Exodus 2. We see that in Exodus 1 and the first part of 2, Moses was going to face the fate of all of the Israelite babies that were going to be thrown into the Nile. But Moses' parents acted in faith and hid him for 3 months. And he was preserved and ended up being raised, ultimately, in the household of Pharaoh. We knew that last week, though, according to Exodus chapter 2, there was a time when he had grown up where he was seeing a fellow Hebrew being assaulted by an Egyptian. And he faced, at that moment, a fork in the road where he would go one way or the other. He would align himself with the Egyptians if he did nothing for the Hebrew or added to the assault by his passivity, or at least ensured the Hebrew's death. If he intervened and sought to protect the Hebrew, he would align himself with the people of God. And what he chose to do was to embrace the mistreatment they were already undergoing, because now that he was grown up, though he was known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, that's not what he wanted his identity to be. And in verses 24 to 26, that background of Exodus 2 informed what this writer interprets it, Moses' response to be. Choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Well, in verse 27 tonight, we have further background from Moses here. In verse 27, there's a statement that Moses left Egypt by faith. Now, there is a difficulty here, because the question is, when did he leave Egypt by faith? He left Egypt on two occasions. The first time he left Egypt was when he feared being killed after he had intervened on behalf of the Hebrew. And I want you to look in Exodus 2 for me, Exodus 2, verses 14 and 15, and I want to show you that this passage might be what the writer has in mind tonight. Exodus 2:14 says, "Who made you a prince and judge over us? Do you mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" So Moses' act here was going to be made known, he feared, or known by more. It says, "Then Moses was afraid, and he thought, surely the thing is known. And when Pharaoh heard of it, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and stayed in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well." Well, here's one possibility then. Clearly, Moses acts. Pharaoh is going to kill Moses in response. Moses flees Egypt. One element, though, that might actually be a contrast is in Exodus 2, it seems Moses is very much afraid. Okay, that's why some say, well, yeah, I know Exodus 2 was the background for the previous verses from 24 to 26. But you just got to remember, that's not the only time he left Egypt. In fact, the very next verse in verse 28 tells us, Hebrews 11, 28, that he kept the Passover, sprinkled blood, the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch them. Verse 29, by faith the people crossed the Red Sea. There is another leaving of Egypt that's in view in our verses. So there are two that we have to keep in mind. But New Testament scholars don't agree on which passage is in view. Some say that Moses left in Exodus 2 from Egypt because he was afraid Pharaoh would kill him for striking the Egyptian. But while Moses left in fear, he didn't remain in fear. The difficulty, though, is the way the writer in Hebrews 11 says it. Hebrews 11 says in verse 27, "By faith he left Egypt." If we're going for how it's often interpreted by those who say Exodus 2 is the background, you would have to end up saying Moses left in fear, and later what was conquering his fear was faith. What's abundantly clear, though, is that later on, when he returns to Egypt, And when he comes with boldness to Pharaoh, "Let my people go, says the Lord," those kinds of statements, it is clear that not only has he come by faith and will leave Egypt continuing to believe God's promise to deliver them, he is unafraid of Pharaoh. Now, he was reluctant to go there. "Lord, I stammer. Who am I? I'm not a good speaker," and on and on. But when he came, even through all of the plagues, Moses was persistent. Persistent. So I'm inclined to say Exodus 12 and 13 are probably in the background here. Not Exodus 2 anymore. I think that was the background for last week's passage. But I don't think it's the background for tonight. So I think by faith he left Egypt. And I'm just simply focusing on the way the writer describes it. The leaving of Egypt was done by faith. That doesn't seem what Exodus 2 described. It seems like he left in complete fear. Now, maybe he was not as afraid later on, but I think it points more in the direction of Exodus 12. So let me look in Exodus 12 with us together, and I'll point you to a couple verses here that may confirm this. In Exodus 12, verse 33, "The Egyptians were urgent with the people to send them out of the land in haste, for they said, 'We shall all be dead.'" The tenth plague had just happened. Exodus 12:34, "So the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading bowls being bound up in their cloaks on their shoulders. The people of Israel had also done as Moses told them, for they had asked the Egyptians for silver and gold jewelry and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they let them have what they asked, lest they plundered the Egyptians. And the people of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Sukkoth, about 600,000 men on foot, besides women and children." We're talking about more than 1 million people. "A mixed multitude also went up with them, and very much livestock, both flocks and herds." All of them, friends, are following Moses' leadership. They're believing that what Moses has promised them is true, and that God is behind Moses and before the people at the same time, overseeing this entire charade of Egyptian captivity. So I think the leaving of Egypt that's in view is this Exodus in Exodus 12, where they're all now going to go out. 1 million people that we should have in mind. It says in our passage tonight, Hebrews 11:27, that Moses was not afraid of the anger of the king. Let's observe together that this is very similar to the attitude of his parents. The heading of the Moses stories here starts not with the faith of Moses, but his parents. Now, I know it says by faith Moses, but look carefully in verse 23 with the way the wording is. "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months." Well, now Moses as an infant didn't hide himself. Moses was hidden by his parents. It says in verse 23, "They saw the child was beautiful, and look at the end, they were not afraid of the king's edict." They did not fear the king. Their son turns out to be very similar in this way. Now, I know in Exodus 2 he was afraid of Pharaoh, but cut him some slack. You know, you don't want to be... your best day and your worst day are not the final judge on your life or mine, right? So there's a wholeness and a trajectory of our lives. So look broader than just Moses' fear in Exodus 2. He leads them out of Egypt. What an incredible story. And he is unafraid of the king, just like his parents were unafraid of the king. Why? The narrator could have just told us that. He doesn't always give you a reason. But here, in verse 27, he tells you why. "For Moses endured..." Now, that's an important word for Hebrews. Moses endured. In other words, he's being put forward as an example. Look to Moses, friends, or look to his example. He also endured. He endured. And he was battling Pharaoh. With all the Egyptians had Israel captive. This was quite a distressing situation. And what did Moses do? Moses endured. Not because things were easy. He endured because things were hard. It's easy to endure when things are easy. But we don't really call it endurance. So in verse 27, it says, "For he endured, seeing him who is invisible." Or as if seeing him who is invisible. Well, that's a long phrase to describe who at the end? Him who is invisible? It's a phrase to describe God. God isn't one with eyes and hands in Moses' day, right? So Moses isn't seeing God physically. Moses has had a number of encounters with God, it seems. But God is known in the Scriptures as an invisible God, and He makes Himself known in anthropomorphic ways, and He's described with metaphors and images that can be human-like at times, like the arm of the Lord brought salvation. Or like what Daniel says to Belshazzar in Daniel 5, that your very breath is in the Lord's hand, you know, after a hand had just written a message of judgment on the wall. So this language of ascribing to the Lord certain traits that can help make sense to us isn't to imply that God actually is a certain height and, you know, has a certain texture of skin or something like that. Moses saw Him who is invisible. And you might say, well, that language doesn't make sense. How can you see what's invisible? Well, that's the whole point. The whole point of Hebrews 11 is things have not yet come to pass, and people are acting in hope that they will, and by faith that they will. I think it's a way of saying that Moses believed in his heart and with the eyes of faith what God had told him. I think it's a way of maintaining confidence in what Moses could not see. God is invisible. But that's the whole message of Hebrews 11. Chapter 11, 1 and 2. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. To describe God as something not seen fits perfectly with what the whole chapter is about. It's meant to stir your faith, but the whole purpose of faith is it's required because there are things that we don't yet see that God's promised. And we have to believe that they will come to pass. And in believing, we will act in certain ways. I mean, that's what the writer tells us here in verse 27. The reason he wasn't afraid is at the end of verse 27, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. If Moses lacked faith in the things not yet seen, fear would have consumed him. And I think we could make a case that both fear and faith do not grow in the same direction proportionately. I think we might say they're disproportionate realities. That fear can be great, but the more one preaches trust in the Lord and belief in what God has promised and the hope of what is to come, that is a way of seeking to prevail over fear with the knowledge of God. I think that's what Moses does here. I mean, in Exodus 2, he is afraid. He does leave Egypt afraid. But this leaving of Egypt is not in fear. This leaving of Egypt is in faith. He has believed that God has said, my people are going to go. You're going to lead them out. I'm going to rescue you. We see how things turn out for both the Israelites as they're delivered through the Great Red Sea story, and the Egyptians who are crushed by the waves as though standing water comes down upon them. The one who is invisible. This is picked up in the New Testament. Not those exact words, but you might think of a scripture like 1 Timothy chapter 1:17. 1 Timothy 1:17, to the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. So he takes care there to not only describe the King of the ages as immortal, but to remind us that he's an invisible God in this sense. True, even in Moses' day. Opinion had not changed. They still believed God did not have a particular height and hair color and those kinds of things. God was invisible. He had made all that is from nothing, and He Himself was no created thing. Moses looked at through the eyes of faith at his circumstances, and he believed God. And faith stirred his courage in the midst of fear. It doesn't mean that from an earthly perspective, things had calmed down to where there wasn't any cause to be afraid. From an earthly perspective, there may have been greater cause to be afraid when Moses returned to Egypt than ever before. Especially when he starts calling out Pharaoh and warning him, and then plagues start coming. All manner of things may have gone wrong. Moses doesn't know the future with exactness. He only knows certain things God has promised him, and he can believe those things, but he doesn't know how it's all going to turn out with specificity. Just imagine the awkwardness of arriving at the Red Sea with the million people behind you going, well, I thought we were, you know, this seemed like the right thing that was going to happen. Now, you know, not knowing all that God would do to bring about the deliverance. But it's still, even in those final moments before the Red Sea deliverance, they just had to trust that God knows what He's doing. And I think sometimes that's a really important element of faith that we have to believe. That God knows what He's doing. That there's never been a moment, never been a gap, never been a blurb in history where a passage of time was and God had some kind of uncertainty, or God messed up, or God had a failure or inadequate knowledge to inform him of the situation. God always has known exactly all things and knows it so well that all that he ordains and decrees in this world is all according to his perfect wisdom and for the maximization, is that a word, or maximizing, of his glory in all things. God knows how to be God. And I think there's great refuge in that. I think there's great hope and knowledge to rest in the thought that God knows exactly what he's doing. And when we look in the state of the world, or even in the state of our own country at different times, you know, we can feel perhaps, I know it's not just me, no doubt, but perhaps we can feel very distressed about the way things are. Even zeroing in upon things that may be happening in the state or in the city of Louisville or even in our own lives. But God knows what he's doing. The I am who I am that revealed himself in a burning bush to Moses knows what he's doing in 2014 on July 2nd. And there's great refuge in that. You can, in the same way Moses did, see him who is invisible. Or in other words, believe God with the eyes of faith. And friend, if you will believe that, even from an earthly perspective, though there may be things that may feel we have warrant to fear, faith, believing in God, him who is invisible, will stir courage in the midst of fear. And the writer wants his readers to know this. Why? Because the application for those readers of Hebrews is in the first century, they needed to endure. And what the writer loves to do is to say, all right, what do these people need? They need to endure. What kind of story would stir them in that way? Well, Moses was involved in what was considered in the Old Testament at that time to be the greatest act of deliverance ever. And that parting of the Red Sea and deliverance from Egypt appeared in later scripture and in many of the Psalms. It was something they looked back to as a mile marker in their history. And for them, that said wonderful things about God. Well, friends, we should have faith stirred not only by thinking about the Exodus, but by thinking about the cross. You know, the writer's not going to stop with Moses. He's going to go all the way through a few other stories. But in chapter 12, he wants to get to Jesus. Because the Exodus is no longer the greatest act of God's deliverance, but the cross, all that the Exodus was pointing to. And Jesus is a great, true, and better, and greater Moses. We have all more reason, because of our place in salvation history, after the cross and empty tomb and ascension and enthronement of the risen Christ, to be people of faith and courage in a time such as this.